It's more than just words on a page, more than ink and paper. It's a universe waiting to be explored, to learn from, to laugh with, to see life through a different lens. Every story leaves its mark, and every reader leaves with a bookmark. Welcome to The Bookmark with Batya Bricker.
Good afternoon, I'm Batya Bricker and you are listening to 101.9 Chai FM's book show, Bookmark, the home of stories and people who love them. Some books pass through our hands, but some seem to pass through our hearts. About those rare, luminous encounters, soulful books, the kind of books that are much more than just a good read. Books to fill your soul and fill your cup. This is not a genre. It's not a category you're going to find neatly shelved in a bookstore. But it's a feeling, a resonance. These are the stories that offer the kind of nourishment that spark delight, or they leave you slightly awestruck at the beauty of language, of thought, of being human. And they can be anything. It can be novels, memoirs, poetry, even nonfiction. Today's show, I will spend sharing a few of the books that have done that for me. Books that have offered a jolt of delight, that have stopped me in my tracks or taken my breath away. Books that have reminded me why reading at its very best is my kind of magic. And I'd love to hear from you too. Is there a book that took your breath away? The one you finished and just sat with, not quite ready to re-enter the world, I'd love to hear. Send me your thoughts on the WhatsApp line 061 895 1019. The first book I must talk about is Theo of Golden by Alan Levy. And I know there was much discussion about whether Alan Levy is Jewish. He isn't. He is a religious Christian, but his name does indeed sound like a Jewish one. But everyone has been talking about this book. Is it worth the hype? One spring morning, a stranger arrives in the small southern city of Golden. No one knows where he's come from or why, and his name is Theo. He asks a lot more questions than he answers. He visits the local coffee house where 92 pencil portraits hang on the wall, portraits of the people of Golden done by a local artist, and he begins purchasing them one by one and then putting them back in the hands of their rightful owners, each with an exchange, a story told, a friendship born and a life altered. A story of giving and receiving, of seeing and being seen. This book is about creative generosity, about the wonder of a purposeful life and the invisible threads of kindness that bind us to one another. I'll tell you a little more after the break, but for now, a word from Dis-Chem.
Turn the page. It's The Bookmark with Batya Bricker.
Welcome back. I'm Batya Bricker and you're listening to 101.9 Chai FM's book show Bookmark. We're talking about a book called Theo of Golden, which so many of you have read and spoke to me about. It's about a small town, a coffee shop with beautifully displayed portraits and an octogenarian with a purpose. One of the moments of delight in this book is discovering that there is a real-life coffee shop that inspired the chalice in Alan Levy's book, and it's called Fountain City Coffee in Columbus, Georgia. It's located on Broadway, and it is known for displaying around 90 charcoal portraits by the artist Gary Pound, which directly inspired the story's setting. Of course, Fountain City Coffee has now become a landmark for fans of the book visiting Columbus, and I would love to have a cup of coffee there too and see those portraits. For me, Theo of Golden was enchanting. It was warm. There are a delightful array of characters with memorable stories. But I also found it just a little flat, a little too wholesome, and perhaps just a little too sweet. Perhaps it could be read as a fairy tale rather than a novel, something more like an allegory rather than a real story. I think that would probably sit well with me. But really, it did make me think, so what if it was a touch sweet for my tastes? Who doesn't need sweetness and simplicity and kindness in this crazy and complex world that we live in? And while we're talking about kindness as strength and not weakness, I must mention Charles McKessie's Always Remember. You will know Charles McKessie from The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. It's this now, Always Remember, is the hugely anticipated next book. The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse was a best-selling adult nonfiction book, and it was the best-selling adult nonfiction book of all time, with over 10 million readers around the world. It's the longest Sunday Times hardback number one of all time. And it's the story, it's about empathy, it's about courage, and the importance of connection. Each character represents a different aspect of the human experience. Like, for example, the boy embodies curiosity and vulnerability, the mole, kindness. The fox illustrates fear and redemption, and the horse, wisdom and acceptance, really the full gamut of human experience and emotion. In this one, Always Remember, Charles McKessie's four unlikely friends wander into the wilds again. They're not sure what they're looking for. They do know that life can be difficult, but they love each other. And cake is often the answer. I love that. When the dark clouds come, can the boy remember what he needs to get through? To get through the storm. The illustrations are spectacular. If you have not yet dipped into the wonder and magic of Charles McKessie's illustrations, you simply must. His illustrations have been featured in books, in private collections, galleries, magazine covers, street lamp poles, churches, prisons, hospital wards, countless public spaces around the world. And he was even, with something I didn't know, he was even selected to work on Nelson Mandela's Unity Series project. He is a special man, and his illustrations are even more special. And then there's a book called A Year of Living Curiously by E. Foley and Beth Coates. And this is the kind of book that you keep by your bedside and you dip in and out all the time, which is what I have done. Why is a heart that we draw not heart-shaped? Will I ever understand cryptocurrency? What am I doing when I apricate? And is everything getting worse? Well, finding the time to appreciate the bounty of our world can be tricky amid the demands of work and family and scrolling our phones, let's admit. But A Year of Living Curiously curates a daily shot of knowledge that will lift your spirits and expand your mind in a flash. So it's 365 snippets of information that is, the snippets are interesting, they are surprising, they are unexpected. Some of them you know, especially if you have particular passions. Things like how the Victorians communicated through flowers, quantum computing, and the secret history of the bubble hat. I had many favorites, and I think I've got time to read you both, and I just wanted to share these with you, and some of you may know the story. It's set for the 30th of August, and I'm quite naughty. I actually dip in when it's not the day to dip in, but I kind of pick it up and open it and hope that whatever's on the page is going to delight me, and it usually does. So this is about Viking tech, and it's about Bluetooth, because Bluetooth was named after the Viking King Harald Blåtand, who, according to legend, was good at bringing people together. He unified and Christianized Denmark and Norway. And the English translation of Blåtand is Bluetooth. The technology symbol shows his initial in the old Nordic written language of runes. So it's a combination of the runes Hagal and Bjarkan. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it. But Harald apparently got his colorful name because of his dark-colored dead tooth in his mouth, rather than because he loved blueberries, as some stories have claimed. What a delightful thing to go to bed with. And then this one I had to read because I think it's close to the heart of anyone who loves words. Peter Mark Roget was born in London in 1779. He was a physician, an inventor, a lexicographer, and a theologian. But you and I will probably know him from the thesaurus, which he became obsessed with in his retirement. And it had really interesting psychological origins. Mental health issues beset Roger's family. His father died when he was four. His mother never really recovered from it. Being plagued by anxiety then her entire life, his grandmother suffered from some form of schizophrenia, and his sister and daughter struggled too. So from childhood, Roger began compiling lists of words to create order and calm from the grief, sorrow, and disorder around him. And after retirement in 1840, he dedicated himself wholly to his thesaurus. Thesaurus is the Greek word, comes from the Greek word treasure, which organized words not alphabetically, but based on their meanings, and it was finally published in 1852. It was an instant bestseller. It was called, this doesn't quite roll off the tongue, hold on, Thesaurus of English Words and Phrases Classified and Arranged so as to Facilitate the Expression of Ideas and Assist in Literary Composition. Thankfully, that has been shortened since, but it was an instant bestseller, and it has never been out of print. The book is fantastic because it's a great alternative to doom scrolling and Pinterest binges. Admit that you do them, but they go absolutely nowhere. So I highly recommend A Year of Living Curiously, 365 Things That Are Really Worth Knowing. After the break, we are going to chat to Bridget McNulty. I have been looking forward to this interview all week, and I know that it's going to delight you as much as it delighted me to both read her book and prepare for the interview.
Turn the page. It's The Bookmark with Batya Bricker.
Welcome back. I'm Batya, and you are listening to Chai FM's Bookmark. Have you read a book recently that really spoke to you, that stayed with you long after the last page? Let me know on the WhatsApp line, 061-895-1019. Well, there are books that ask us to think, and we've reviewed many of those on the show. But then there are books that gently invite us to change the way we think. And Daily Glimmers by Bridget McNulty sits beautifully, or should I say shimmers, in that second category, because the cover of the book, and I just have to start with that, is in rainbow watercolor with gleaming sparkles all over, and it fills you with as much delight as the book's content proposes. The idea of the book is that even in the midst of anxiety, overwhelm, the relentless busyness of our modern lives, and let's be honest, sometimes just plain boredom, there are small, almost shimmering moments of goodness, what Bridget McNulty calls glimmers. And if triggers are the things that set us off, glimmers are the things that bring us back to self, to groundedness, to calm, to delight. And in a world that often feels so noisy and so demanding, Daily Glimmers gives you both the permission and the blueprint, which we'll talk about later, to slow down, to notice, to find light in the everyday. Bridget McNulty, I am so pleased to welcome you to the show. A warm welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so delighted to be here.
Bridget, this morning started with Howard Feldman, who runs the morning show. And every morning, Howard asks a question to listeners and actually to our internal team as well. Not all of those answers can be published, I might add. But the question today was, what was something that made you smile this week? And what was interesting was that very few people answered, both on the radio as listeners and internally on our internal group. And so it got me thinking that your book has come just at the right time. And really, your book is all about that. So I think let's jump in. Tell us, what is a glimmer, and give us some examples.
Oh man, I have literally thousands of examples. The book has over 1,000 examples. And it's so interesting what you said about your colleague asking that question this morning. I don't think it's because there weren't things for people to smile about. I think it's because we all assume that if we're going to talk about something, it has to be big and impressive. And if you're going to smile about something, well, it better be worth talking about. And the goal with Daily Glimmers is to just shoot that concept down and say, no matter what is going on in your life, and our lives are busy and full and the world is burning and it is so desperate, no matter that that is happening, there are still all these teeny tiny moments that are just so beautiful and they're worth noticing. And they are as small as, I'm a little bit thirsty, I'm going to have a sip of water. Or, oh, I haven't seen someone I love all day and I just got a hug. Or a song I love just started playing. Or it's a little bit chilly outside and so having a cup of tea is actually a joy again, whereas I feel like I sweated through it for a lot of summer. Like, it's all these teeny tiny little things that are so easy to ignore. But the trouble is that when we ignore them, the big, loud, negative things take over. And the more we notice these glimmers, the more they show up for us. And the better it is for our mental health, the better it is for how we show up in the world, and the better it is for how much capacity we have to deal with real life.
You mentioned it's not the big things necessarily. In fact, it's not the big things. It's the little things. And I love that phrase that you quoted from Shauna Nyquist, who said, the low bar of delight. And I thought, yes, I want to cultivate a low bar of delight. I think that would make me a happier person.
Yeah, because it's so funny. Hey, you're sitting in traffic and you're stressed out and you have a million things to do. And if you can just notice the way the light comes through the trees, that's a glimmer. If you can recognize that the radio you're listening to is actually fascinating and speaking to exactly what you want to be listening to at the moment, that's a glimmer. If you get somewhere a couple of minutes early and you can take a deep breath before you get out of the car, that's a glimmer. Like, they are everywhere, but we're so busy that we don't notice them. And the reason it's not the big things, I mean, I love the big things. Give me a planned holiday, give me a wedding, give me like
Paris,
a party to look forward to. I'll take it. With gratitude and thanks. But the trouble is that if you wait for that, so the idea for glimmers actually comes from a fellow called Chade Meng Tan. He was Google's former happiness guru. And he said that we should be looking for tiny 3-second slices of joy. He called them slices of joy, which I love. And I called them slices of joy for a very long time. And I interchanged the terms, actually. But the trouble is that if you only wait for the big thing, so if you're waiting for the holiday or the baby or the life partner or the promotion or the weekend, you're not living the majority of your life. It's almost like you're just in a holding pattern until you get there. And that is just the most epic waste of time. So what's wonderful about glimmers is that it offers you these tiny little moments that make you recognize that no matter how boring and ordinary your life is, oh, the beautiful ordinary is about as good as it gets. And I think once you've gone through some kind of grief or trauma, which is what led to me writing the book, I think you recognize that the beautiful ordinary, if like no one in your life is dying or ill or in hospital and you have a job and you have food to eat, like, that's as good as it gets, guys. We can be finding glimmers everywhere given those circumstances.
Yeah, I think waiting for that next big thing is what society has trained us for. It's what the movies are about. It's actually what stories are about. But I love the thing with glimmers, and it's what you mention, is that there's no pressure. The stakes are not that high. So, you know, for so many people who've had holidays cancelled, I mean, especially with everything going on, or where there's been a big disappointment or COVID where you couldn't have a family occasion. I mean, all those things. These are highly attainable because they're small.
Absolutely. And I also want to say it's not toxic positivity. So it's not saying you should be so grateful. I actually have like a fairly significant bone to pick with gratitude because I think conceptually lovely. We should all be grateful. We are all very lucky. Anyone you speak to is very lucky because there are some things they have that others don't have. But telling someone who is in the depths of despair that they should be grateful is just spiteful and unhelpful. And so this isn't saying when it feels like your life is really difficult, you should be happy for what you have because other people don't have it. It's not saying that at all. It's saying life is difficult. No matter where you are, life is difficult and stressful, and there are so many demands on your time. And at the same time, these small moments of beauty exist. And if you can notice them, it just signals to your nervous system, it's a couple of seconds of calm. And those couple of seconds of calm accumulate and make you feel better. Like there is actual science behind this, that it's not just rose-tinted glasses, like woo-woo magic talk. Like if you can calm your nervous system persistently throughout the day, you are gonna feel better. And I have tested it, and I can tell you it works, and it works even in terrible circumstances.
It works in terrible circumstances, and it works actually in everyday circumstances as well, which, the area everyday can be, it can be very vanilla and kind of boring. And this,
Beige.
so beige, exactly. And I think a glimmer can just elevate the whole experience of a day. And as you mentioned, it's only 3 seconds of joy. You can find that, right? Anyone can
Anyone can
find
find it.
just a little bit, a slice of joy. Glimmers themselves are fleeting and impermanent. You can't plan them, you can't really hold on to them. It's the search for them that's the thing. So you've got to be on the lookout. You've got to be noticing them. And that actually requires discipline, it requires dedication, it requires consistency. Talk to us about your practice of finding joy.
So what I find so funny is you would think if I'd written a book about joy, like I'd have this in my back pocket, I'd know exactly what was going on. But it's a habit, and habits tend to just slip by the wayside if you don't pay them attention. And so while I was writing the book, so the book is structured in such a way that every day offers a glimmer and then two alternatives. So 366 days, there's over 1,000 glimmers in there. It took me some time to come up with different ones. So I was constantly at the end of every day, I would write down like two or three that occurred to me that day. And then I was working on the books, so I was very actively engaged and looking for new things all the time. And then it got handed in and my notebook was full and things just got kind of blah. And there was nothing wrong, but there was nothing particularly right. And I started feeling that kind of like a mildly complainy all the time. And it was literally as simple as buying a new notebook, which in itself is a glimmer. Love buying a new notebook so
Yes,
much.
that
And
fresh page.
starting, oh, so nice, fresh page, pen, like juicy pen. Oh, a lot of satisfaction there. And starting to write them down again. It's literally as simple as that. And then the habit resurfaces and it resurfaces. So I agree with you that it's a discipline, but it's not the kind of discipline as the same kind of discipline as meditation, for example, which I have just tried for years and years and have not yet mastered. It's mindfulness, but it's mindfulness just in the moment. And so it's just saying like, oh, I've noticed something beautiful, or oh, I just had such a lovely interaction with the cashier. Or, oh, doesn't the sky look so beautiful with these clouds? And then it's just sitting with that for a couple of seconds instead of rushing on to the next thing. So it requires discipline, but it requires a very low level of discipline in comparison to other mental health practices because I ain't got no energy to add another mental health practice to my list. And so I like that it's very simple. Now, actually, best advice on how to incorporate this into daily life is to do one good thing a day with your family or friends or whoever you live with or whoever you're in daily contact with at the end of the day. So we do it around the dinner table where when we sit down and we're eating, we go around the table and everyone has to say one good thing that happened to them that day. And it can be so small, but it's training us into there's a sense of accountability, right? If you know that you have to report on something, you have to pay some attention during the day to something that you can report
Do your
on. And if
homework.
my
You have to
kids,
do your
you have
homework.
to do a bit of homework. And if my kids or my husband try and skip, I'm like, nope. Even if I know they've had a hard day, I'm like, nope, dig deep. Like there's got to be something. And sometimes it's this moment, right? Like sitting down, the day is over. Like on really bad days, it's I get to go to bed and I don't have to live this day again. And that's fine too. That's also part of it, right? Lying down in your bed at the end of the day. Oh, what a joy. So I think it's kind of putting structures in place that make it easier for you to have to notice the glimmers because they are there all the time.
I have to share a personal anecdote with you at this time,
Please.
because
Yeah,
we
personal.
used to, when we were raising our boys are quite a bit older now. We used to do a gratitude around the Friday night table, and you had
Love it.
to say one thing, even though I know you have a hassle with gratitude. And actually, when you raised that, it has made me more aware, because I think gratitude can sometimes feel very worthy. And quite frankly, when you're going through something difficult, it's sometimes just a little bit hard to go there. But you definitely can have a delicious cup of tea, even if you're in a bad space. That's a glimmer that you can reach. Anyway, besides for that, the story was that we used to go around and you had to mention something that week that you were grateful for. And one of our sons, who really struggled with this exercise, I remember we started with him, and by the time we reached dessert, he still had not found the thing. And we were like, can we end this meal now already? But actually, what he did find in the end, so he did have to dig as deep as he had to, he said, I'm glad that everything is working in my body.
Oh, there we go.
And I've
That's
never forgotten
profound.
that, because that is profound.
It is.
But glimmers are, as we said, the stakes are much lower than that. And I want to just give listeners a taste of some of the glimmers. And I have to admit to you that I haven't done like one every day. I kind of pick it up and
But
deliciously
you know
drink
what?
it
There's no pressure, whatever
in.
works.
Exactly. But just some of the ones that really amused me. Page 75, you talk about being awake on purpose in a sleeping house. I don't think
Ooh.
that there is comparable joy. That
It's
it's
so
bliss.
beautiful.
It's absolute
And then
bliss.
you hear someone moving and you're like,
Oh.
no, don't
Exactly. Another one is fairy lights. I like that you put fairy lights on everything, and I agree with you, but there's a joke in our family that I put bunting on everything, and really it isn't a
don't
celebration if there is no bunting, and it has to be the fabric kind and matching, obviously, obvs. And then the other thing that also amused me was the ideal configuration of cushions, and which woman can't, who doesn't relate to that? It's just,
Sometimes someone will take my cushion and I'm like, what is
hold
happening
on.
here? And they're like, oh, yes, sir, take another one. I'm like, no. I've worked this out in life. This is what I need.
So I think there are many things like this: brown paper packages, delicately scented clothes, anything cooked over an open fire. I think a lot of people will relate to that. You looked at over 1,000 glimmers and you're now continuing this practice. Which are some of your favorites?
I like the boring everyday ones. So I like I love the morning cup of tea. I love lying down with a book and no one interrupting me. Like that's about as good as it gets. I'll often say to my kids when I see them doing that, I'm like, oh, you are living your best life. And they're like, I am living my best life. It's just so nice to like luxuriate in. I love when I'm watering the garden and you see a little rainbow in the spray. That's one of my favorites. And then I really like the satisfaction one. So each month is a different theme. And like things like pulling a sticker off something that you've just bought and the whole sticker comes off in one go. Oh, that
Yes.
fills me with such glee. Or
Yes.
like baking a cake and the cake comes out first time and you're like, oh, I have won at life. Like I find the satisfaction things like really very, very pleasurable. And then what really surprised me was there's a whole section on other people. And the book I read before this was called The Grief Handbook, A Guide Through the Worst Days of Your Life. And it was about losing my mom very suddenly and how I dealt with grief. And there's a section in there called Other People Too. But that section is like, oh my God, other people. You have to deal with them. Just do your best, pretty much is the like short version. Because dealing with other people when you're grieving is very hard. What was so interesting to me was that the other people section of Daily Glimmers was such a joy. And I love being on my own. And I have two young kids, so I do not often have time on my own. And I was surprised how much I really love being around other people. And it's that sense of like synergy when you are at a concert and you're all listening to music together, and it's called collective effervescence, and it lifts you all up together. Or it's that sense when you're in a meeting and you're both completely on the same wavelength, and that's so thrilling. Or when you make a joke with the petrol attendant and he laughs, and you're like, oh, I love being South African. There's all these little human interactions, and obviously the ones with the people you love, right? Like hugs and cuddles and text messages and all of that stuff. But I expected those, and I didn't expect all the other ones. And I actually think you mentioned COVID earlier, we saw how starved we were for all of that when it was taken away. And I think it's easy to forget that other people are actually quite wonderful.
From one introvert to another.
Yeah.
I think I need to hear that. You end the book with a marvelous section on slices of joy. We have to break for an ad, but I would like to read some of that after the break.
Turn the page. It's The Bookmark with Batya Bricker.
This is Batya Brekka. Welcome back. You are listening to an interview with Bridget McNulty, who is the author of Daily Glimmers. And we've come to the end of the interview, but I wanted to end with Bridget's words herself. And it's not quite at the end of the book, but it's called Slices of Joy No Matter What. Noticing glimmers and crafting slices of joy doesn't presume that everything in your life is peachy. Remember, glimmers are micro moments of nervous system regulation. If everything was easy, fun, and happy all the time, your nervous system wouldn't need regulating. If it was one rainbow cupcake after another, one delightful, seamless life experience followed by a nap and then another delight, what would any of it mean? The beauty comes from the fact that we are given this moment now, and then it is gone forever. Joy is most powerful with a backdrop of arduous things, and life is filled with arduous things. People getting sick and dying, and relationships ending, and work drying up, and friendships faltering, and finances running out. Slices of joy in spite of. Slices of joy no matter what. Have you
Oh,
had
you read
to?
that.
You wrote it beautifully. It's a kind of, we spoke about discipline, maybe a low-level kind of discipline, but of writing down glimmers. And I found it interesting. Here you were writing a book. You were completely committed to the idea. And yet, when you didn't have that deadline looming, you kind of lapsed into a blareness. And isn't that interesting that we kind of need the discipline? The discipline is to go and buy that journal and to write in it every day. But the rewards are huge, because when things are good or when things are fine, then that's great. Then you've elevated your day. But when bad things happen, what Jim Collins calls the cliffs of life, and they are going to be, then you've got something in place. And no matter what, you're going to know that you have to find that glimmer. Did you find that in your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was very interesting and hard timing in that my book came out in September last year, and my very close family member died in October, and he was diagnosed with terminal cancer in January. And so the entire process of launching a book about joy was hand in hand with watching someone I love die. But it was such a test that this works. Last year was so hard and so beautiful, and you don't get one and then the other. Like, our lives are not all one color or all the other. And this was so useful, because otherwise it would have just been desperate. And that's really hard to live with. Like, it's really hard to just live with desperate day after day after day, and dark and hard and heavy. And so I found it such a balm to be able to have these little moments, these little chinks of light that made the darkness more bearable.
It's about holding the light and the shadow in one go.
Absolutely.
There's something really powerful about what Bridget brings in Daily Glimmers. Although it looks like just rainbow and cupcakes from the outside, there's something much deeper. And it's about looking for luminous fragments that are definitely there if you are looking for them, but you do need to look for them. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a delight.
What a joy. Thank you for having me. I have so enjoyed this.
Daily Glimmers by Bridget McNulty is available in bookstores now, and you want to have this copy next to your bed, given to your best friend or your mother or your sister or anyone else who is looking for a way to elevate life and to romance the ordinary, as they say. Thank you, Bridget. And now, as you know, I always end this show with my favorite. And this book is called On the Sponge Islands by Julia Martin. Sponge Islands, sponge diving, I can almost hear your eyebrows raising. It doesn't get more niche or more random than that. But this is a book that took me by surprise and it took my breath away. In a sentence, it's about the wonder and the plunder of humankind and our planet. The author, Julia Martin, goes on an epic journey to visit the Greek islands of the Dodecanese. And for those of you who may not know where this is, I didn't. The Dodecanese are in the South Asian Sea, and they are bordered by Turkey and Crete. On the Sponge Islands follows Martin's journey through Rhodes, Symi, Halki, Kalymnos, and Patmos to trace the cultural and ecological legacy of sponge diving. So this is how it goes. Because of their wonderful porosity, sea sponges have always been perfect for a myriad of human uses, and the men of the islands have been diving for them and trading them since antiquity. In the late 19th century, new deep sea diving suits made it possible to mine the seabed as never before and to bring home untold wealth. It was a rich harvest, but it came at the cost of many lives, and it couldn't last. Everything, one might say, flowed through sponges until it didn't. The life of a sponge diver and his family is really something I have never given any thought to. I'm sure you are the same. But Julia captures the romance of it so poignantly, the majesty of it. You cannot help but fall in love. And I just wanted to read you a little bit so you have an idea of how it feels and what she manages to capture. Sekularis is one of the old sponge divers who's telling her the story of how it once was. And he says, some left the profession. He's talking about his family, he said. But I don't know if they were happy. They were proud, though. They were working so hard. A sponge diver would know, I support families. And that is something that doesn't exist today. Maybe they were poor, but they had pride. The way Sekularis describes it, it's like they were the last Greek heroes. Much has been told about the terrifyingly difficult life of a sponge diver, and I could see it in the faces of those I had met. On Patmos, Lefteris, the sponge diver, had become somber when he talked about it. On Kalymnos, old man Latari had simply shaken his head. But it was a ruthless and dangerous life. But both men, aristocrats of the sponge boats, had a quiet grandeur in their walk that was discernible long into old age. And for all the exploitation and deprivation, the hunger and loneliness of 6 months at sea each year, the longing for women and children at home, the terrible sunburn, the tough captains, the profiteering merchants, the anxiety of sharks or death or disability, for all that, they remember the life well. And now it was the memory of diving that kept them alive. Underwater, underworld, diving deep and surfacing, dying and returning. They were indeed brave men. More after the break.
Turn the page. It's The Bookmark with Batya Bricker.
You're listening to Batya Bricker, and this is Bookmark, IFM's dedicated book show. We're talking about a book called On the Sponge Islands, Loss and Restoration in the Aegean by Julia Martin. It's a book that, as I said, took my breath away, but took me by surprise. What Julia does over three visits is she talks to people whose lives are bound to the sea. And through their stories, she uncovers the rise and fall of the sponge trade and its deep entanglement with environmental devastation. The islands bear the scars of war, both human and ecological, and despite this, the Aegean remains a glory of blue. So for all its plunder, the sea is luminous and alive, and conversations with islanders keep returning to the heart. On the Sponge Islands brings together natural history, personal recovery, and eco-social reckoning. I was ready personally to pack my bags and go on a Greek adventure as soon as I had finished it, and I've read it very, very slowly. It is travel writing at its best. It's immersive and thought-provoking, but it also left me emotional, wowed by the nature of humankind in our very best and our very worst. It made me reflect how technology has both destroyed and saved industry. It made me think of something I didn't know, the impact of Chernobyl on the sponge beds. And really that idea of everything we do impacts the whole world. She explores the old ways. And at first it feels nostalgic and quaint, but it's also a bit cruel. And you're kind of glad that human beings have moved on from such cruel ways. There's the heroic and the brutal lived reality of a sponge diver and his family. She explores the Syrian refugees who arrived on the island, something again that I didn't know, amidst the postcard-worthy sunsets and delicious food. It's magnificent. Her writing is lyrical. It's rich in dialogue and extraordinary characters and curious tales. I highly recommend this book. So these are the books that not just that we move through, but books that have moved through us. They are books that have moved through me. And whether it's a novel that stirred something long forgotten in you or a memoir that held up a mirror, these are stories that are not just stories themselves. They meet us, they linger, and they leave us changed. I hope that you have enjoyed my selection of books that have moved me. Keep reading, keep feeling, and keeping an eye out for those rare books that don't just fill your time but fill your soul. There is no show next week. It's a public holiday, but on the 7th of May, the following week, at Exclusive Book Santon, I'll be launching a book called The Boy in the Barrel by Eric Lieberman. It's a remarkable tale based on the true story of a young boy leaving Vilna at the end of the 19th century, getting lost on the streets of Cape Town, and eventually finding home and making a life for himself. Check out Exclusive Books events page for more info on the launch, and watch the space for my conversation with Eric Lieberman on Bookmark's memoir episode, the 8th of May. Goodbye for now, and happy reading.